Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of good people involved, and its host and founder is the great Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she is indeed a champion in the battle against ageism. Carol is out exploring the mountains of Peru this weekend, so in her stead, I have the pleasure of conducting this week's interview. Our guest is an amazing cultural icon who has been making music and performing on stages across the country since the late 1960s. And she has overcome some major hardships, severe depression, emotional disturbances, nearly drove her to suicide, substance abuse, eating disorders. And on top of everything, she had to cope with the suicide of her son in 1992. Not only has she overcome these challenges, but she has been of great service and help to others. As a result, she's going to be receiving an award on April 27th in Los Angeles, the 2017 Beatrice Stern Media Award at the Erasing the Stigma Leadership Awards Gathering. It's thrown by the D.D. Hirsch Mental Health Services, which is a leading nonprofit provider of free community mental health and substance use services for children and adults. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our pleasure to talk with Judy Collins.
And ice cream castles in the air, and feathered canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way.
Judy Collins, it's an honor, it's a pleasure having you on this program. Thank you so much for joining us.
You are so welcome. I'm pleased to be with you today.
The forthcoming 2017 Erasing the Stigma Leadership Awards that you're going to be participating in as a recipient of this very distinguished award in Los Angeles on April 27th, I believe it is.
Yes, it is
something that I would imagine has tremendous meaning to you. Although there's a lot of ground that I would like to cover in the opportunity I have to talk to you, this is the business at hand. I don't think a lot of people realize who think of you as somebody that made a difference in their life in terms of your music, in terms of your position in the culture when they were growing up. They may not know that your life has been on so many other tracks as well, and that you had your own degree of suffering and hardship, and you overcame it, and you've devoted so much of your time and energy to helping others. So for a little background, could you tell our listeners what it is that this award is about, the organization giving it to you, and some of the background that led up to this?
I have had a long career, of course, in music, but I've also had my share of mental, emotional, and physical challenges, disabilities, occurrences, as everybody has. I think my story begins as a child of an alcoholic and a suicide survivor of my own attempt at 14. So that gives you, in a sense, of the work that was cut out for me.
Mm.
I also know that depression was instrumental in that suicide attempt, and so I got into therapy when I was in my early 20s and began to deal with the depression. I'm also a recovering alcoholic. The alcoholism rode my back for 23 years, as did an eating disorder, as did the depression, of course. And throughout my history, I've been looking for help, trying to get help, getting a tremendous amount of help in therapy for years. As I say, I was involved in the tragedy of my son's suicide, which demands that in order to live and not take your own life, which, of course, as a survivor of his death as well as my own attempt, I was a prime candidate, as many people are. And so I had that work cut out for me. It all involves therapy. It involves reinvention. It involves looking deeper than you ever wanted to and finding solutions, which are not always easily available. Certainly, finding the right therapist is important, but also all the other helps that I have been able to find. I got into a treatment for my alcoholism in 1978 and finally got sober and have been sober now for 39 years. My eating disorder has also brought up so many issues throughout the years. I was bulimic for 11 years or something. But I'm in recovery for years now, and life is very different. And along the way, as you said, I have written extensively about the secrets of my family, fundamentally the alcoholism, and I've written about my life as a survivor, what I've done to get through it and get over it, and I like to share that with people. And that's why this award is, it's an honor. And it's also a place where I can talk about my favorite subject, which is recovering from the stress and the trauma, the illness and the disaster that we have to face on this planet, and how I've done it, and perhaps that will help somebody else.
Judy, do you think that we've made progress over the years in being able to talk about this openly? One of the major issues is that people are afraid to be open about it. They're afraid to admit it. They're afraid to talk about it. If nothing else, just your being so open about it is encouraging to others to say, hey, if she can do it, I can do it. But have you seen progress sociologically in the topic being less taboo for most people who suffer from these problems?
When I was 23, I got into therapy. I was also in a struggle with my ex-husband for the custody of my son. And I lost custody of my son in 1965. And my lawyer told me that the reason that I lost custody, you know, they always said, oh, the mother never loses custody. Well, in my case, I did. And he said, the reason was that you were in therapy. That's what the judge said in Connecticut.
Oh, my.
Now, today, if you weren't in therapy, you might lose custody. So just right there, in a nutshell, we understand that the mental health issues must be taken seriously. We talk about, I think the only way to heal things is to be open and talk about them. That's true about any mental issue. And now we have a mental health bill, which was passed, of course, by Congress. Now we have to get the insurance companies to pay for it, because that's the struggle now. It's against the insurance companies who don't want to pay anything for health, not only physical, but now, of course, mental, they don't by any means want to pay. It's a struggle, but it has changed. When my son killed himself in 1992, there was literally nothing in the bookstore. There were two books. There was The Savage God, which is the Alvarez book about Sylvia Plath's suicide, which has in it no solution, by the way, only the drama. I'm a great believer in solutions. There's plenty of drama to go around here. And there was another book called My Son, My Son by the wonderful Iris Bolton, who is a psychologist from Atlanta. He has a mental health program down there called The Link. And her son killed himself. Mitch was 19, and she wrote this extraordinary book, and that was there. And then my friends, women, including the great Joan Rivers, really kind of gathered around me to support me. But this literature, in those days, there was almost zero. But as years have gone by, there's more and more and more, and people are more able to talk about anything. You can turn on a television show today, maybe an afternoon talk show, and hear about everything from incest to necrophilia to what diet to go on. I mean, you can hear anything and everything that you might think was important in life. So, yes, there's been a big change, and I would say that is primarily because people have begun to talk about and look into and think about openly being transparent about their lives, emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual.
It's interesting you mentioned that Joan Rivers, the late, great Joan Rivers, was a friend of yours. I understand that at this event coming up in Los Angeles on April 27th, the MC will be Melissa Rivers. And, of course...
Yes, I'm so excited that she'll be there. She's so wonderful. And, you know, her mother saved my life, really. I don't know that she really knows that, but certainly I'll talk to her about it. Because Joan called me after we had had, you know, she had a television show where she had my son and his wife and my granddaughter come to the show, and we talked and bonded and then had conversations. We had even talked about doing a show together, Joan and I. She called me a few days after my son's suicide, and she said, I know you want to quit everything. I know you want to cancel everything, your shows. And I had been in the process of doing that. She said, you can't do that or you won't heal. Because she knew what she was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, her husband...
So Melissa knows the history. Yes, her husband had killed himself. And she knew that we had to go forward with our work and do what was in front of us.
How were you able, with all of this going on, to have a career that was so prolific? I mean, 50 albums, awards,
yeah.
Great iconic songs, concerts. You learned to play the guitar. What kind of a person are you?
Yeah, the hard part was learning to play the guitar.
Well, you were a pianist.
I have that, you know, Energizer bunny gene. I think I learned it at the feet of my father, who was a working alcoholic. You know, it didn't matter that he was, I mean, he didn't know he had alcoholism. He didn't understand anything about the illness, but he never missed a show. He had a 30-year radio career. He was vibrant. He was intelligent. He was curious. He was brilliant. He was a great reader. He was a great entertainer, had a great voice, sang like an angel, and never missed a show. And I was taught not only from him, but also from my great teacher, Antonia Brico, who was the first woman to conduct major symphonies in the world. I mean, the movie that I made about her life was what garnered me an Academy Award nomination.
Right, on top of it, you're a filmmaker.
Yes, I'm a filmmaker. And so, but that's, you know, it's all about stories. I wanted to tell her story, and whatever the medium is, that's what you use, the one that will be, I hope, most effective. Actually, that movie, Antonia, was chosen to be in the Library of Congress gallery of the best movies of the centuries, plural. And also, Amazing Grace was just chosen to be one of the great songs of the century. So it's quite exciting. And my archives are in the Library of Congress. But to answer your question, it's luck and health, being sober, having had the fortune to get the kind of therapy that I needed, to also be a writer. I mean, I always wanted to be a writer, and I've written 9 books or something. This is the 10th. Cravings just came out, and is the story of my eating disorder, plus biographies of all the great diet gurus of history. I chose about a dozen of them to write about, and I interspersed them with the stories about my own eating disorder, because I think people... I love to read the history of what we've been through and how it might be helpful. And, of course, reading is my major addiction. It may be music and playing the guitar, but reading is my big-time addiction. And it robs me of sleep, but it gives me a lot of useless information to refer to from time to time.
Well, I the word addiction is funny in this case. I guess there are positive addictions and negative addictions. Is it true that you could switch a negative one for a positive one, that it's just a matter of...
Oh, yes.
It's part of it all. I've heard that said.
Oh, yes.
We're talking with Judy Collins, and we'll have more of our conversation with Judy Collins when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
going back to the My Bag and saying, you cost me a lot of misery, and all total, $2,700 in doggy fees, and all it took was one container of Dynavite. 2 pounds, 3 ounces, and my dog has been cured. Abby's a 5-year-old silky terrier. She had, like, chicken pox on her belly, clusters of bumps on her back, and she was allergic to, like, 70-some-odd things. So the dermatologist, it was like, oh, yeah, just keep giving her needles every 10 days. But she's not clearing up. And then it came up on my radio, Dynavite.
Dinovite. .com.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite is nutrition.
I give her the Dynavite after 5 weeks, and one morning there was nothing there, and I'm like, she's all clear. There wasn't one blemish on her body. Her fur is beautiful. She is totally happy. She is as healthy, bump-free, pimple-free, shiny, silky. It turned our lives around. So thank you very much for Dynavite. I couldn't be happier. Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
Bernadette Duncan spent 26 years as a radio talk show producer. In her new book, Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers, she shares her adventures in the trenches of big-time talk radio during the changing backdrop of America's pre- and post-9/11 realities. This exciting story includes Bernadette's impressions of the quirky celebrity talk show hosts whom she served during her career, Larry King, Sally Jesse Raphael, Gil Gross, Tom Snyder, Lou Dobbs, Charles Osgood, and more. It's full of anecdotes about hundreds of high-profile guests from media, show business, and politics. Also quirky, ego-driven, and neurotic. Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers. An analytical look at the media, journalism, and the complex nature of ego. Get it now at Amazon.com. Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Let's get back to our conversation with Judy Collins.
Alcoholism is a verifiable illness. It's a genetically transmitted illness. All it needs is a little light and water to get going. You know, it can mow you down.
Mm.
But you need to have people who know about how you don't drink, because it is not a matter of willpower in any way, shape, or form. Mental illness is not a matter of willpower either. I do think that we have to look at the entire business of mental illness. It has to do with physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual balance. So when we're talking about mental illness, we have to look at what the machine we were born with, this body of ours, and what it takes. And it is body, mind, spirit. It's not just the head going crazy. Andrew Weil says if you want to get over depression, exercise every day and 7 days a week and eat a lot of broccoli. I mean, that sounds terribly simplistic. However, there's a lot of wisdom in it, because we must take care of this whole persona here, which means we have to exercise. We have to learn to eat, not to drink like an alcoholic like I did. We have to learn to balance our lives, and we have to get some, something that is our passion, I think, into our lives.
Mm. I find the word depression to be a word that is often misunderstood. It has so many dimensions to it, so many definitions. You know, people will quickly say, oh, I'm so depressed. What's the matter? Oh, look at the weather. Or I'm so depressed. You know, my check didn't arrive, or whatever it is. I guess there's a degree of difference between sadness and depression, and then real chronic depression. For a person to be so depressed as to contemplate suicide, you contemplated it, you suffered it very close to you with the loss of a child, and this is a subject that you have observed and studied for years, from first-hand experience and from second-hand experience. For those who don't understand how deep and dark a place is that feeling that leads a person to find the only solution is to take their own life.
Yes, the ability not to live beyond midnight. Everybody has problems. Everybody has a reason to, at some point in their life, want to get off the planet. There's no doubt about that. As a 14-year-old, when I had a big issue of problem. I was very angry and upset because I was told I had to do something I didn't want to do. And my go-to position was I would take a bunch of pills and try to get off the planet. Most people don't necessarily go to that point. So if you look back, now I didn't have a therapist following that, and I did live through it. Suicide ideology is a separate animal, and because you can be, you know, many people can be depressed, and many people can live lives of depression, and most of those people do not take their lives. So it's not the depression, although I'll talk about that in a second. It's the suicide ideology. I think it's a combination, and by the way, I don't think it's inherited. Depression is inherited, but I don't think the suicide ideology is. I think that's accumulated from some unknown source. I don't know where it comes from, and I don't know what causes it, because most people don't do it. About 40 to 50,000 people a year take their lives. This hasn't changed too much, even though you see increases in different age groups, or particularly different physical groups. People in the military in certain situations are more apt, as they might be today in these wars that we're involved in. And now we know about it, because nobody would write about suicide in the military for decades, for centuries, really, whatever that means. But they started writing about it about 10 years ago. That's why you know so much more about it today than you did then. Suicides in the military have been always happening. My stepfather used to talk about being on a huge ship in the Second World War in the Pacific, and people who, you know, jumped off the bridge who couldn't take it. So it's not unusual.
We're talking about some heavy stuff this week. Our guest is musical icon Judy Collins. And we will have much more conversation with Judy Collins when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here on this great talk radio station in just a moment. Hi, this is Michael Harrison. I hope you're enjoying this installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, and finding it to be a meaningful listening experience. This wonderful little weekend program has been on the radio across America in one form or another for more than 20 years. Its mission is to provide mature Americans with information and content about aging to help them cope with the nonstop challenges of life during these hectic modern times. We're talking about health, finances, relationships, and plain old fun. Whether it's learning about the latest technology and social norms, or fondly remembering yesterday's arts and entertainment, A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, is dedicated to serving that gigantic segment of the population so sadly ignored by most of today's popular media. Founded and hosted by a truly great lady, Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the ongoing battle against ageism, this program is geared to what has commonly been referred to as the sandwich generation. Baby boomers who are coping with such challenges as still supporting their adult children while caring for their elderly parents. It's my honor and privilege to be associated with Carol Marks and be a part of her mission to support, defend, and inspire today's generation of what she lovingly calls seasoned citizens. A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, online at www.atouchofgrey.com. We spell Grey with an E. And right here on this great radio station every weekend. Thank you so much for listening.
This is Brad Shepard. Whenever you think of Social Security, do you think of survivor's benefits too? You see, Social Security is more than retirement. Social Security makes regular monthly payments to the families of workers who die too. More than 7 million people get survivor's benefits from Social Security, including almost 2 million children. Benefits that pay for food and clothing, medical care, and school benefits you can count on when you're planning your financial future. For more information, go to the SSA website at www.ssa.gov.
Michael Harrison here. Those of you who follow talk radio and are interested in what goes on behind the scenes might also know me as the publisher of Talkers Magazine, the trade publication that serves the talk media industry. We cover the talk show business as it exists on radio, television, and the Internet. I often have the opportunity to speak about these media as a guest on radio and TV talk shows or comment on industry developments in newspapers and magazines. For the past 2 years, I've also hosted a weekly podcast that delves into the media in general and focuses on the rapid changes, not only in radio, but all of communications technology. Changes that I believe are contributing to rewiring the human nervous system. Computers, social media, and all the different platforms of instantaneous communications that define the new digital age are combining to actually accelerate our evolution as a species. Sound pretty far out? Well, it is. As a matter of fact, the name of this podcast series is Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison. Each week, I interview an outstanding personality from the world of radio or any number of its related fields in the arts, sciences, entertainment, politics, or academia. It's available to download, and you can subscribe to it at absolutely no charge whatsoever at iTunes or at the website www.upcloseandfarout.com. Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison. Just a click away on your computer or mobile device. Visit iTunes or www.upcloseandfarout.com. Make Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison a weekly podcast listening experience. Thank you. This week on Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison, you'll be able to hear the entire Judy Collins interview that we're playing excerpts of here on A Touch of Gray.
Going back to the My Vegas thing, you cost me a lot of misery, and all total, $2,700 in doggy fees, and all it took was one container of Dynavite, 2 pounds, 3 ounces, and my dog has been cured. Abby's a 5-year-old silky terrier. She had, like, chicken pox on her belly, clusters of bumps on her back, and she was allergic to, like, 70-some-odd things. So the dermatologist, it was like, oh, yeah, just keep giving her needles every 10 days, but she's not clearing up. And then it came up on my radio, Dynavite.
Dinovite. .com.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite is nutrition.
I give her the Dynavite after 5 weeks, and one morning there was nothing there, and I'm like, she's all clear. There wasn't one blemish on her body. Her fur is beautiful. She is totally happy. She is healthy, bump-free, pimple-free, shiny, silky. It turned our lives around. So thank you very much for Dynavite. I couldn't be happier. Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Let's get back to our conversation with Judy Collins. We're talking about her severe depression, her emotional disturbance that nearly drove her to suicide, her recovery, and the way she's been helping others overcome these same problems since then.
I believe, of course, you know alcohol is depressant, so people that drink have a high risk of depression and despair. I think despair may lead to the suicide ideology more easily. When I was drinking, although I also used exercise to alter and maintain and stabilize because the endorphins will help, but I was still pretty much, I would call a therapist in the middle of the night through my 30s and say, you've got to hospitalize me. I'm a danger to myself. By the way, if you feel that way and if you feel strongly about it, get to a doctor and get on something. Get some help. Go get a therapist, even if you have to take an antidepressant for a short time only. You have to get some help when you have these things. Go talk to somebody. And I'll say one more thing about this. I met my friend Ed Schneidman, who started the first suicide hotline in the country in Los Angeles in 1949, was told that he couldn't use the word suicide in the hotline because it was a taboo word. Mm. He has said, he's dead now, unfortunately, he was a brilliant man. He has said, and wrote many, many books about suicide, he has said that he knows, as an experience, as a sociologist and a therapist, that anyone with suicide ideology can be talked through if they're allowed to have talk therapy. Now, get an insurance company to pay for enough talk therapy that you might need. That's the challenge.
Well, obviously, the insurance companies are interested
in... They don't want to pay.
Well, they're interested in their own financial interests, and that's a whole other issue.
Yeah.
And it also ties into the theory, which is not even a theory, I shouldn't even use that word, to the fact that, which is at the base of this conversation, that mental and emotional illness is, in fact, equally an illness as pneumonia or cancer.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's...
Absolutely.
That, and the insurance companies, of course, financially benefit by denying that, by remaining rooted in the past when it was taboo. You said something about 5 minutes ago that caught my interest. You said take an antidepressant temporarily if necessary.
Absolutely.
What is your position on meds? Because meds play such
I don't take anything, by the way. I mean, I would take anything when I was drinking. I would take anything, except that I had this philosophy that I didn't do a lot of drugs, street drugs. I didn't, because I really thought it would interfere with my drinking. I always like to say that because it's true. But I would take, I had cabinets full of all these prescriptions that would be handed to me because doctors do that. They want to give you a pill for whatever it is. And I think that they're killing us. I think that our dependence on big pharma is, first of all, they're killing people. The opioid plague has been stimulated by big pharma. You know, people who go around to doctors and hand them these free packages of 100 pills of opioids they can give to their patients after they have surgery. You can't give anybody 100 pills of fentanyl if they're in pain, because fentanyl will create an addiction. And most people don't even have to have room for the addiction. They don't even have to have a DNA for it. If they take fentanyl for over 10 days, they are bound to get addicted. So I am so, it's funny. I've done a couple of speaking engagements. I speak a lot after having written my book called Sanity and Grace about my experience of suicide. And I underline the fact that I don't take anything, that I wouldn't, that as a recovering alcoholic I cannot, period. And that I take a little Synthroid. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not believe in big pharma, in pills for anything and everything, and scientific, manipulating of various aspects of our person. I just don't, because there are plenty of other ways to do it. Acupuncture, homeopathy, body work, therapy. I mean, you name it. There's almost anything you might do, including staying out of a hospital, is better than a medical solution.
Right.
That's
so
based on pills.
Right.
And
so
drugs.
So meds.
And by the way.
Yeah, so meds should meds should only be used as a temporary means to an end.
A last resort.
Right, right.
And certainly temporarily. Now, our huge problem, which I write about in my new book, which is called Cravings, How I Conquered the Food, has to do with the fact that all eating disorders, that is anorexia, bulimia, where you don't eat enough, where you have to purge it, obesity, morbid obesity, all of these illnesses can be addressed in the same way. Avoiding sugar, grains, wheat, flour, and corn, period, end of story. And everybody writes about it loosely referring to it as, well, you could do that for 30 days. No. If you want to be non-diabetic, you get off these foods. This is the answer. So, and of course, you exercise, you meditate, you take care of yourself, you don't go to a lot of doctors, you watch a lot of funny movies, anything not to be depressed. There are lots of things that we can get a handle on that will help. Stopping drinking is one of the ways, but of course, I'm not depressed. I was born an optimist anyway, Michael. I really was. So sometimes my sister says you have to remind people that you don't take drugs, but I take an antidepressant, and I wouldn't be on the planet if I didn't. So she encourages me to say there are people who need this, and so I have to say that.
Huh. Do you still have demons? Are you rid of them and now you just know intellectually how to stay clean of that? Or do you still wrestle with demons?
Demons. Well, you know, I always say you have to be careful what demons you get rid of, because the one you get rid of might be the one who wrote the great poem or the great play.
Right.
Demons. I tell you something. I live in the moment. I live in the day. You know, I was walking in the airport yesterday and thinking, this is my desert. This is my 40 days. I have the opportunity to figure out everywhere I go is where I belong. I don't have things that torment me, but you bet I did when I was drinking.
Hmm.
And my eating disorder made all the demons come out, the despair. You know, eating disorders, I have to mention that people with weight problems, anorexic problems, bulimic problems are prone to suicide ideology. Mm-hmm. They just are. And the despair that comes with an addiction that is taking you down, eating disorders, overweight, you know, it's killing the medical situation. I mean, let's get beyond Obamacare or any alternative that might be trying to be presented. What we need to do is be our own advocates and get our health care into our own hands, in the hands of people who know what they're doing.
That's a whole paradigm change, and I think we're beginning to do that.
It's a paradigm change. You bet it is. You bet it is.
We're talking with Judy Collins, talking about some pretty heavy stuff, and we've got plenty more coming your way when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
July 25th, 2006, we adopted April. She's a purebred orange and white Brittany. But when she started scratching like crazy, I said to John, it's got to be her food. You know, what you put into a dog is what you get out. We heard this radio commercial, and this woman was so excited about Dinovite.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
I said to John, I'm getting this. So the Dinovite comes, and I thought, a light bulb moment. She loves her dog food. She always leaves a little bit in her bowl. So we added a huge scoop of Dinovite in it, and then we swished it around like gravy. She dove into that bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. So that's been the routine for almost 10 years. April gets Dinovite for a dessert. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. It's smooth. She even walks like a little princess.
859-428-1000.
On Dinovite. She's Little Miss Hollywood.
DINOVITE.com.
Here's an important message from the Pain Advocate Hotline. Do you have aches and pains in your knees, back, in fact, your whole body from working hard all day? Well, is your insurance company working hard to help you fix your aches and pains? In most cases, heck no. They just take your money every month. If your body is beat up from the hard work you do every day, driving a truck, cleaning toilets, waiting tables, or fixing cars, we can help get your insurance company to pay for things that can help fix your back or knee pain. If you have insurance, use it. That's why you pay for it. We've helped millions of good, honest, hardworking Americans relieve their joint pains. Call the Pain Advocate Hotline now for free information on pain-relieving options available to you without surgery or medications. 800-430-7924. 800-430-7924. 800-430-7924. That's 800-430-7924.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Let's get back to our very, very interesting and informative conversation with musical icon Judy Collins. What is the connection between demons and creativity? You said that demon might be the one that wrote the song. That demon might be the one.
Yeah.
what is the connection? Who was this woman that I used to play on the radio back in the early 70s who looked like an angel, sounded like an angel, and I thought was an angel? I had no idea, nor did my colleagues, that you were going through what you went through and were still going through anything from your public image. So what is who were you then, and what was the connection of the real Judy and the image of Judy and the creations of Judy back in those marvelous 70s when you were, you know, Judy Blue Eyes and the subject of one of the greatest pieces of pop music ever conceived?
By the way, I'm going on tour with him
Oh, no, and, don't. No, yeah. I'm only kidding. Don't you do.
Jill and Collins are on the road together starting at the end of July. First job is in Ravinia in Chicago. It's a way in which art overcomes nature in a funny way. I was, of course, always the person that I am now, no matter what age I was. My impulses being to be creative, to be disciplined. I was taught discipline as a child and right through my adolescence and my teenage years and my early adulthood. So I always had the discipline. There was always the magic in there somewhere. You know, try as I would to kill it with the booze, it wouldn't go away. And try as I would to get out of it with the blackouts, they wouldn't stop me. And I think I learned that from my dad, who never missed a show. The creativity will find its way, I think, through a lot of dysfunction. But the fact is that the person who's doing that, who's miserable and sick with the addiction, has got to find a way to come through with the physical health in order to tolerate that stream of magic that's coming through. Dylan writes an interesting few pages about his 10 years of writing those explicitly fabulous songs from 61 or 2 through 71 or 2. And he says he has no idea where they came from. No idea. And when they stopped, he has no idea where they went.
Yeah.
And I think that's true for most of us. We you have to be able to catch. You have to sit down long enough or be present at the computer or the piano or the notebook or the paint palette long enough for it to come through. You have to be somehow still enough. One of the things that saved my life, I'm sure, was being a performer. So I'm on the stage for 2 hours. I'm singing. It's a meditation. And it came through me with the work, no matter what I was doing otherwise. But I would have to be still, and I would have to be doing what I did. And the meditation was working for me, and it was working for the people in my audience. And, you know, the time that I had studied and worked and played the piano and been creating this foundation was still there, even though I was a wreck physically. So I think it's there, and you have to just be prepared to let it happen, but also to get yourself ready. You got to be. I think I must have known when I was young that I was gonna be a late bloomer, and I still feel that. I feel my best work is in front of me, but finally I'm healthy enough to do it.
Well, you missed your calling. I've come to the conclusion that of all the things you've done, you haven't done one thing that you would have been great at. You should have been a radio talk show host.
Well, I grew up on the radio. My father had a radio show for 30 years. He was a philosopher-type healer. He read Emerson. He read Dylan Thomas. He told jokes. He sang beautifully. You know, his music, I think, was very healing. Yeah, I think I would have had a good time.
You yet can do it. The message that you have would make so much sense. I say it partially in jest, but I'm also pointing out the fact that you're an amazing raconteur. You're a great storyteller, and you say that you do a lot of public speaking on this subject. I have to ask you a question. When you do the public speaking, because you carry all of these different histories, do people sometimes ask you to sing as well?
Oh, I always do. You can't stop me.
Okay. And then again, who would want to? We're talking with Judy Collins. Very, very intimate, candid conversation. And we have more coming your way when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here on this great talk radio station in just a moment.
Isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Here at last on the ground, you in midair, send in the clouds. Isn't it bliss? Don't you approve?
when we brought him home, we didn't realize that Bear, the rescue dog, was actually sick. He had very flaky skin. He was dropping a lot of fur, and the vet wanted to do steroid injections, special dog food. Nothing seemed to work. So I've been hearing Dinovite on the radio for years.
DINOVITE.com 859-428-1000.
It never actually crossed my mind to try it until I was just at a dead end. And then it finally sunk in. Oh, you're talking about hair and skin. And all right, I'll try it. Well, it took probably 6 weeks, but after we started using Dinovite, no more flaky skin. He doesn't scratch and itch, and he started to put weight on. It was awesome. He makes us feel like we saved him. Every rescue dog in America deserves Dinovite for 90 days. I wish that we would have started the Dinovite right away. It would have been so much easier.
859-428-1000. DINOVITE.com.
Bernadette Duncan spent 26 years as a radio talk show producer. In her new book, Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers, she shares her adventures in the trenches of big-time talk radio during the changing backdrop of America's pre- and post-9/11 realities. This exciting story includes Bernadette's impressions of the quirky celebrity talk show hosts whom she served during her career, Larry King, Sally Jesse Raphael, Gil Gross, Tom Snyder, Lou Dobbs, Charles Osgood, and more. It's full of anecdotes about hundreds of high-profile guests from media, show business, and politics. Also quirky, ego-driven, and neurotic. Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers, an analytical look at the media, journalism, and the complex nature of ego. Get it now at Amazon.com.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-296-1548, 800-296-1548, 800-296-1548. That's 800-296-1548.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and it's time now for the final segment of this hour of our broadcast and continuing our conversation with Judy Collins.
The first book I put out in 87 was my first big memoir, Trust Your Heart, and I was on the ABA in Washington, D.C. with Madame Sadat and George Plimpton, and I was the middle speaker, and my agent, my publicity woman said, Marley Russoff, as I was stepping onto the stage, she said, "Are you going to sing?" And I said to her, "Of course not. This is a book. I'm going to speak." And in the action of putting my foot on the stage and lifting myself to the stage, I thought, oh, yes, you certainly are going to sing. And George Plimpton afterwards said, "I'm never following you again."
That's wonderful. Well, I mean, you even sang a little bit for the people listening to this before,
yes.
Before we recorded it. You sang a little for me, and I said, "Let's not even talk. I just want to listen."
Yes.
You still, and I said to you, I don't mean to be presumptuous or too familiar because we really don't know each other. I feel like I know you, but you know that's only because of my position in the media. But and I said to you, "You still have it, kid. Your voice sounded beautiful."
Here's a song that my father used to sing in the morning. Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your ears on the doorstep. Don't just direct your feet to the fucking side of the street. I always think that's a good motto.
It's a great positive song, one that I've always liked. It goes back to the old days. And there you have it, a conversation with Judy Collins here on A Touch of Grey. If you'd like to know more about Judy Collins, her music, her books, and Her latest book titled Cravings, How I Conquered Food, please visit judycollins.com. If you're interested in her upcoming awards event in Los Angeles on April 27th, please visit ddhirsch.org or erasingthestigma.org. And now, as we close the program, let's listen to a bit of Judy Collins singing Both Sides Now.
Bows and bows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow, it's clouds' illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all.
Judy Collins singing one of her biggest hits, Joni Mitchell's song, Both Sides Now. What a joy speaking with Judy Collins here on the program. And that about does it for our installment of A Touch of Gray this weekend. Thank you to our producer, Dwayne Doobie Jr. on the front line, our host and founder, Carol Marks, our sponsors, and of course our affiliates across the country. On behalf of all of us here at A Touch of Gray, I'm Michael Harrison in the Anchor Chair, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.